didn't write you a part in there? We're in chapter 12, Gospel of Luke. We're going to start in verse 22. We're going to start with the word of prayer. We're going to cover it kind of quick. Praying is a dangerous thing, Lord, because you can change us. What a concept. For us to allow you in our life, to allow you to be the Lord of our life, more than just our Savior, but our Lord, and allow you to change us. And I pray, Lord, you would do just that through the power of your Holy Spirit and the power of your word. Pray you'd forgive us where we fall short. I do. Forgive us, Lord. And I pray we'd be humble and reverent and in awe of you and open to you and hungry for what you say. And I pray we would allow you to change us. It wouldn't be what we want. It'd be what you desire. Please help us, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So we live in a pretty messed up place. We all agree with that? I mean, I'm not talking Butler, Belleville, Ohio. I'm talking like world. I like Butler, Belleville, Ohio. Danville, Ohio. I like the community we're in. But it's pretty messed up. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in this cursed, fallen world that we battle with. A lot of things that can cause people to worry, right? I mean, people worry, correct? Anybody? Anybody worry? You don't have to raise your hand, but there are people that worry. We all agree? What do they worry about? Anybody worry about money ever? Money? Safety? Health? Every time you get in a car, you have to worry. It's not only drunk drivers you're avoiding now, it's texting and driving. Right? There's all kinds of stuff people can worry about, right? It's nuts out there. It's crazy. We live in a crazy world. And he tells us not to worry. We're not to worry. So what we're going to talk about this morning, starting in verse 22, then Jesus said to his disciples, if you remember, he had been in front of this huge crowd at the beginning of chapter 12. It talked about when a crowd of many thousands had gathered, so many that they were trampling one another. This huge crowd was there and he was teaching them. And last week we talked about a guy that broke in and wanted Jesus to help settle an inheritance dispute, and Jesus used the parable of the rich fool. And I believe this ties right back into that. It goes right along with it. But now he's back talking to his disciples. He says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Don't worry. That's what he's saying. Don't worry. Anybody ever tell you that? God's telling us that. We're not to worry. In fact, worry is us not trusting Him. When we worry, we believe He can't handle it. When we worry, we say that He can't take care of us. He can't take care of it. When we worry, it shows our doubt of Him. And we lack trust and faith in Him. And you know what? If we're being really transparent here, you know, many of you know me very well, that's something that I battle with. Not that I don't believe God can do it, but I worry about stupid stuff. I do. Stupid stuff. Battle zone, right? Some of my big battles are in my brain, right? I know He's got it. I know He can do it. I just like to take it back and try to help Him some. When we worry, it's doubting Him. It's doubting that He can take care of it. And this section is all about trusting Him. Jesus is saying, they were just talking about money, and they were just talking about handling it, and you know how this guy had stored all this up, and his life was going to be demanded of him, and that our hope isn't in money. That's what we were talking about, right? We're to be good stewards of it. We're to use it as a tool, but it sure in the world can't be our God, and it can't be our goal. And he's continuing on with this teaching. He says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. That's a true statement, right? I mean, your life is more than food, right? I mean, your soul's more important than a Snickers bar. We all agree on that? And your body's more important than your next t-shirt. By the way, speaking of t-shirts, those t-shirts in the foyer are free. You can take them on your way out. But your body's more important. So I believe he's saying we need to take care of our soul, our spirit. We need to take care of us. And we're called to take care of our body. We're actually called to be good stewards of our body, what he's given us. Life is more than food and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. So now he's using an example. They can grasp this. They do not sow or reap. They have no storehouses or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. God is capable. What he's saying is God is capable of taking care of us. He's capable of caring for us. He is faithful. What he is not saying here is it's okay to be lazy. That's not what he's saying. He's not saying it's okay to be slothful. He's not saying don't plan. He's saying don't prepare for the future. That's not what he's saying. In fact, the Bible is very clear. The Bible says if you don't work, you don't. Yeah, that's scriptural. I didn't make that up. Right? So he's not telling us to be slothful. He's not telling us to be lazy. That's not what he's saying here at all. What he is saying is we don't have to worry. I believe what we're called to do is to work hard, do our part, and trust him and not obsess about it. The fact that we're valuable. I mean, I'm hoping we're more valuable than birds, but are we more valuable than birds? Well, look at Scripture. What did he do for us? Not only did he create us, not only did he put us in charge of it, right? But he died for us. He calls us his children. He calls us co-heirs with Christ. He wants to spend eternity with us. He finds us very valuable, very precious to him. He paid a very, very high price for us. He bled out for us. He let his baby boy die on a cross for us. If you wonder if you're precious to him, he knows every hair on your head and he died for you. He has proven his love in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He demonstrated his love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I believe it's Romans 5:8. He finds you very valuable. He's saying, if God loves you that much, you don't have to worry. Quit fretting. Quit obsessing. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Raise your hand if you think worry can add an hour to your life. We know that what happens, worry does what? Decreases it, right? Increase anxiety and stress does not help things out. It hurts things. Your body does not enjoy it for long periods of time. Since you can not do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Don't you love it? I love how he says that. He's like, can you add an hour to your life? And we all know the answer to that. Absolutely not. He says, like, you can't change that. Why do we worry then? You can't change it. Why do we allow it to still consume us? You can't change it. Why are you wasting your time with it? It's a faith thing. It's a trust thing. Why do we worry about the rest? We can't add an hour to our life. Why are we worrying about this? He goes on, he says, consider how the lilies grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? Solomon, I know you know this, but just 2 minutes of your life on Solomon. Solomon's wealth was off the charts. I think I've said this many times, but I'll say it again. If you start looking back at what they paid him a year, it was measured in metric tons of gold. Metric tons. He made gold so common in Israel that silver was pretty much whatever. Right? Jerusalem had so much gold. He had extreme wealth in buildings and a huge harem and all the other stuff that he could amass. Read Ecclesiastes, by the way. It's a great book. Great book. Because it's all meaningless, meaningless. Anyhow, he had all this stuff and fine clothes and elegance and all the beauty. And Jesus is saying in his great splendor, he can't even match the flower of the field. And the flower didn't even dress itself. God did it. And if God can take care of a flower that's going to be here today and nothing but fire tomorrow, he's got you. He's saying, trust me. That's exactly what he's saying. And too often, I don't know that this is just about here, just about clothes to cover your body. I think part of it has to do with fashion, style, what others think. Popularity, being accepted. Do you think that just happened in our generation? Wanting to make other people happy and to fit in and using style and all that different stuff. And I believe he's saying, don't worry about it. Quit fretting. If you're going to focus on something that has eternal value. Focus on him. Oh, you of little faith. That's what this comes down to, man. If you're like, what are you talking about? That's what we're talking about. People not trusting him. And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. Now, is he saying that you can't plan out supper? No, that is not what he's saying. That's not what he's saying. I believe you're allowed to plan supper. I believe it's okay to plan for the future, but he's saying quit doubting God and quit doubting the fact that he can care for you. Again, I believe we're supposed to be good stewards of what he's given and plan for the future, but we shouldn't obsess about it. We shouldn't be anxious about it. I believe we're called to be good stewards to take care of us and our families and those around us, those in need. For the pagan world runs after all such things. What's the pagan world run after? Stuff. Materialism. We talked about that last week. What will people do for money? They will steal, kill, sell people. They'll do all kinds of crazy stuff for money. They run after money. He's saying don't let it control you. Don't run after it like the rest of the world runs after it. We need it, we use it, but we use it as a tool. They obsess over it. They run after it. That's where their focus is. That's where their heart is. I ask that you don't let that happen. Listen to me, don't let that happen. I know you're sitting in church right now, and you're like, oh no, I would never do that. But when Monday morning hits, and you start your car, or you start your truck, and you turn the radio on, I ask you to look where your focus goes and what your priorities are. Because for too many people, it's making another buck, and what I'm going to do with that money, and what I'm going to buy, and this is going to make me happy. Because they keep buying stuff, and buying stuff, and buying stuff, thinking that's going to make them happy. And we talked about this last week, but I'm going to say it again. You can buy things, and it can give you temporary pleasure, but it will never fill the hole, because the only thing that can fill the God-sized hole is God. You might find temporary pleasure in things. You might find temporary pleasure in money or gifts or whatever your love language is. You might find temporary pleasure in stuff like that, but it will still leave you empty. Quit running after the same thing the pagan world runs after. Run after him. Use it, what he's given you. Use the gifts and the tools that he's given you for his glory, but put your focus on him, not just Sunday morning. The pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. You know he knows what you need before you ever will. He knows what you need now. He knows what you need tomorrow. He knows. Your Father knows. Is he saying that everything's going to be easy and you don't have to worry? Do you know what happened to the disciples? We talked about this last Easter. Do you know what happened, right? Judas hung himself. 10 of them were martyred. And one of them survived heavy persecution and lived until he died of old age. That was John. That's who he's talking to here. He's like, don't worry, don't worry. They all die. 11 of them, horrible, horrible deaths. Oh, I'm sorry, 10 of them, horrible, horrible deaths. Judas hung himself. The other 10. Then John, like I said, was heavily persecuted. They died standing for him. He didn't say it was all going to be. He's saying, I've got you. This is what you need to understand. He's saying, I've got you no matter what you face. He's not saying you won't have health problems. He was not saying you won't ever have financial problems. He's not saying that you aren't going to maybe face pain in your life. It happens. He's saying, no matter what you face, I've got you. You're okay. You don't have to worry. I've got you. Is he bigger than pain? Is he bigger than financial problems? Is he bigger than death? Do you believe he's bigger than those things? If you believe he is bigger than those things and he can carry you through them, quit worrying about them. But seek his kingdom. That's where our focus should be. That's what we seek. That's where our attention is. That's top priority. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. If you seek him and earn our focus on him, he will help us through everything else. Maybe not always easy, but he will help us through everything else. Do not be afraid. You know what? Hang on, I know some people are zoning. Listen to me. We should be the most joyful and the least afraid people on the planet, Christians. We should not be the stone cold, unhappy group. That is, should never be the Christian church. The Christian church, we should be the most joyful people in the world, no matter what we face, the most joyful people in the world, and the least afraid people, not because of it's always easy, but because of the God we serve. Do not be afraid, little flock. That's who he's talking to, his little flock. He's talking to his disciples. For your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Did you hear what he gives us? What he gave them, what he gives us? Eternal life. We get the kingdom. We're co-heirs with Jesus. I don't even deserve to go to heaven on my own merit. And he wants to give me, be a co-heir. It's just amazing. Praise God for grace. He says he's pleased to give you the kingdom. Did you hear that? Pleased. He wants to. He doesn't have to. We sure in the world can't earn it. We definitely don't deserve it. He's pleased to give. He wants to. He wants us. Does anybody in here love to give things to your kids just to see their response? Do you know what I mean? I think he loves to bless. He loves to give us good things. Because he loves us. Right? You want to give good things to your kids because you love them. You care about them. He loves us. He's pleased to give it to us because he loves us. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that you will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted. Sell your possessions. Does that mean that we have to sell everything we own right now? I believe what he's saying here is not love the things of the world. Again, I believe it's okay to provide for yourself. I believe it's okay to provide for your future. I believe we're called to do that. I believe that we are called to make money and be able to help other people. And if you're like, well, Pastor, where in the world would you ever find that? In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28, he says, he who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work. Imagine that. Go to work. Do something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. We're supposed to take care of ourselves and help take care of our family and help take care of those in need. He's not saying don't plan for your future. He's not saying don't be a good steward. He's saying quit worrying about it. Focus on God and do your best and do what's right and focus on God and watch God hold you by the hand and take you through it all. Don't trust in your possessions. They will fail you. Trust in God. Again, things, money, things, they are tools. They are not God's, and they should not be our goal. I keep saying it, and you're sick of it, but I'm saying it over and over because there's too many people that that's exactly what they do with their life. What's precious to you? I'm not talking Lord of the Rings precious, all creepy like Gollum. That's not what I'm talking about here. What is important to you? What do you love? What steals your focus? What is it really easy for you to spend your time and money and talents on? What does that come natural to you? What is that not hard for you to do? Like, oh, I can spend money here. Oh, I can drop Sirius Jack here. And it doesn't bother you a bit. You can spend your time, money, and talent on it. What is it? Idols are real, brothers and sisters. We aren't supposed to have any. There's only one thing we worship. Watch out for idols in your life. They're real. Maybe it's comfort. Maybe it's pleasure. Maybe it's power. Watch out for idols. He's saying don't trust in your possessions, trust in God. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourself that will not wear out, so we don't have to have all that stuff and hoard things, but we're supposed to have some, but not hoard it. A treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. That's where your true treasure should be, because nobody can mess with it. You want a true safe, true vault that nobody's going to crack? Tell you where it's at. It's in heaven. You want to put treasure someplace that you know is safe? It's in heaven. Guarantee it. This last one, I'll end with this. Look at that. It's only like 2 after 10 if you're all worried about it. We'll end up right here. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We're going to end with this. Where your treasure is where your heart is. So when I was asking you what you love and what you put your attention on and what you put your focus on, if it's anything other than God, if it's things, if it's money, if it's sports, if it's attention, if it's comfort, if it's pleasure, if it's your health, if you worship yourself because you have to have a six-pack and one of which being healthy is not bad. I think it is great stuff, but don't make it a God. Whatever you put there, if it is anything other than God, you need to be afraid. If your love is anything, if your passion, if your treasure is not God, and it's anything of this world, you need to be extremely worried and afraid. Didn't think you were going to hear that at church this morning, did you? Be scared. But if it's not God, you better be. Because I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to it. No matter how much you try to protect it, no matter how good you are, this is what's going to happen to it. It's either going to get stolen or rust up or broke up or destroyed somehow, or eventually it's going to become kindling because he's burning it. No matter how precious it is to you, if it's of this world and that's your treasure, that's what your life's wrapped around, that's your idol, it's going to get rocked. It's going to get burnt. If your idol, your treasure is of your possessions and things of this world, you need to be afraid because it's going to get ruined. You can't control that. You can't stop that. But if your treasure's him, this is what he's saying. But if your treasure's him, if he is your treasure, if he is your heart's desire, if God is your heart's desire, if your treasure's in him and in his kingdom, you don't have to worry because there's nobody that can touch it. It's safe. You're okay. He's got you. Quit worrying. You want to quit worrying? Let him be your treasure. Trust him. Father God, I pray that you would be our greatest treasure. Not the fleeting things of this world, because it's fleeting. But it would be you and your kingdom. And we would quit worrying about the little stuff. We would be good stewards of what you give us. Help us to use it to the best of our ability. And quit obsessing and fretting. And Lord, you know, I'm talking to me as much as anyone. Lord, I pray you would help me and everybody else here do the same thing. I pray that we would run the race to the best of our ability and leave it in the hands of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And trust you. I pray that you would be what we seek above all else. So we would seek you and your kingdom above everything, and we would love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. I pray that wouldn't just be a sentence or a phrase. I pray that would be a lifestyle. I pray you would help us, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. If you would, please stand.